I would like to read first in the Gospel by John, chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now a verse from the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. Now a final reading in the book of the Acts in chapter 16. Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word and help us tonight to preach the gospel clearly and plainly from these scriptures that we have read. I have read of four scenes or happenings that took place at night. In John's Gospel chapter 3, we have read of a night of discovery. It was Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he made a great discovery. He found out that if he is ever going to be in God's heaven, he must be born again. When we come to Matthew chapter 25, we have read of a night of division. There were 10 virgins, 5 ready, 5 not ready. When the shout was given, those who were ready left, and there was a great divide, never to take place again after this great event. In Daniel chapter 5, we have read of a night of death. The night that Belshazzar died, he was partying. Multitudes have died at parties, through liquor and so on. But here's a man, he went into eternity at night. But thank God for Acts chapter 16. Here's a man who experienced a night of deliverance. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" He was pointed to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he trusted him as a Savior, and he got God's salvation. But I was thinking, any one of these four things that took place that we have read in the Scriptures, any one of these four things that took place at night, could take place tonight in your experience or mine. Maybe you've come to this gospel meeting. Maybe it has never dawned upon you that you need to be born again. You see, in every heart, there's always that thought, well, there's worse than me. My friend, none are accepted. None are left out. Whenever the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Little fellow having Sunday school with his two sisters, he mentioned John chapter 3 and verse 3, the truth of it. Preaching to them, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." One of his little sisters said, "Except me?" He said, "What do you mean?" Well, she said, "Everybody else needs to be born again, but not me." No, friend. It takes in everybody. It takes you in tonight. It takes me in. No new birth. No heaven. No matter how good you are. No matter how good and how moral you've lived. The man the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to was morally upright. He had a knowledge of the Bible. What more does a person need? My friend, they need a new birth. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A night of discovery, that could take place tonight. It'd be a grand thing if you really found out, if you made this great discovery, that you need a new birth in order to be in God's heaven. We read in Matthew 25, of the coming of the bridegroom. Now that could take place tonight. We are firm believers in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised his disciples, I go away, I will come again. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he included himself with those who would be living when the Lord came. That is, it was so much in his mind. He didn't expect to die. He expected the Lord to come. Now, we are far closer tonight than the coming of the Lord. But there's one verse in Matthew chapter 25 that's very solemn. It's verse 10. It says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. That simply teaches us that there will be people anxious to receive whenever the Lord comes, and they're going to miss out in this great salvation. Maybe there's someone in our meeting tonight that you would like to receive. My friends, should the Lord come tonight, you'll be left behind, going to buy, waiting to get God's salvation. That could take place before this meeting ends tonight. The coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. A great division. Families divided permanently, forever. We read in Daniel 5 of death at night. That takes place every night around these parts. All these accidents in every hand. Death claims someone. Death may claim one in this meeting before 12 o'clock midnight. It might be me. It might be you. Friend, if it's me, there's one thing I know. It will be well with my soul. Could I ask you kindly, how would it be with your soul if death should overtake you? A wagon left here one night, just across Victoria Drive. Almost a collision. But two or three blocks away, people going out into eternity. Death at night. Could that take place tonight? Well, you and I have been around long enough. We know that it could. But then thank God for Acts chapter 16. Salvation could take place tonight by a soul in this gathering. A night of deliverance. A night of salvation. Here's a man down to business. And he says, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people tell us they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're not saved. And yet the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is, there's something that is a hindrance to them in coming to the Savior. Well, we trust that tonight this will be a night of salvation and a night of deliverance. Now, John chapter 3 is the ABC of the gospel. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A new birth is an absolute necessity for every person that's going to swell redemption song in heaven in the sweet by and by. People would like to think that they're going, but that's not the way. I remember preaching in Nineveh, Nova Scotia. We had a two roads chart up at the back of the platform. And there was a serviceman coming to those meetings. One night when we got to know him a little better, I said to him, which road are you on? And he turned and he looked back. He said, which road am I on? He said, I would like to think I'm on that top road. Well, I said, sir, which road are you on? Many would like to think they're on the narrow way going to heaven, but they've never started. My friend, if you have no starting point, that's what this new birth is. To start life as we have. We were born. In order to start life for heaven, you need a second birth. Born again by the Spirit of God. Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can this take place? Certainly it can. I was 21 years of age. When I had my second birthday, I was born twice in the same village. Not in the same house, but not very far apart. God in mercy, save my soul. But Nicodemus made this great discovery. He needed a new birth. He was not fit for heaven. Are you fit for heaven? You can't fit yourself. No preacher can fit you. It's only God alone can save a soul and deliver them from the wrath which is to come. The new birth is an absolute necessity for God's heaven. Did it ever take place in your experience? You see, this new birth is not something that's vague. It's not groping around in a fog. Whenever a sinner gets deliverance from hell, without a feeling, without a change in the surroundings and the likes, that soul is passed from death unto life, from the power of Satan unto God. Salvation is described for us in the Bible as coming out of darkness into light. Now, those are opposites. It's being dead in trespasses and sin. And then the new birth, quickened or made alive by faith in Christ. When that takes place, the person knows there's been something done. I didn't feel my salvation, but I knew there was something happened. I was changed. In a moment of time, when as a lost sinner, on the very verge of hell, I trusted Christ, and I was heaven born and heaven bound. You mean saved for eternity, in a moment of time. That's what salvation is. It's sudden. It's not so many steps that you take to get saved. It's only one step. Out of yourself into Christ. By faith in Him, the work He accomplished upon the cross to meet the sinner's need for the great eternity. But friend, tonight, it's a real thing to be saved. And it's a real thing to know. I remember preaching in Richmond. Many years ago, Mr. Andre Bergsma and I, a dear man and his wife, started to attend those meetings. He had been very fond of the booze. Many weekends, Friday nights, he didn't come home. He didn't see him to Sunday night. Even he had spent all his money in liquor. Well, he started to come to the meetings. One of his workmates got him to come to hear the gospel. So his wife came too. She was very religious. And they came night after night. For about 2 weeks. Finally, she said to him, her husband, I think we should join this church. He said, they wouldn't let us join that church. She says, why? She says, if we went together, I think they would. No, he says, have you not been listening? He says, those men are preaching every night. That except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said to his wife, who was very religious, he said, sure, you're not born again. Well, she says, I'm more born again than you. Well, he says, but you're not born again. You need to be saved in order to do that. That was the first time that woman was awakened to see her need of salvation. Now, without a new birth, there was no heaven. Now, if you forget all else I say, and if this registers in your soul, No heaven without a new birth. Friend, you must be born again. That's not our doctrine. That's in God's book. And God clearly and plainly tells us that without a new birth, there's no heaven at the end of life. A night of discovery, he found out he must be born again. But then we have a night of division. It will be a sad night for some when the Lord returns again. Those who are left behind will be left behind for the judgment of God. Should the Lord give the shout tonight, every born-again soul saved by grace will rise to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Not one real, genuine person saved by grace will be left behind. Not one. Whether they're living or whether they're dead, they'll all rise to meet the Savior. Families will be divided. There'll be those in the family in heaven. There'll be those in the family in hell. Father and mother gone. A son and daughter left behind. A wife gone. A husband left. A husband gone and a wife left. A great division when the Lord returns again. That could happen tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. I heard men preach over 40 years ago. The Lord was coming. It's still being preached. If you stop and think of the great advancement in this world this past 40 years, things are a lot different now than what they were then. Men have gained knowledge. And they've made great strides in making things that were unknown 40 years ago. It only reminds us the Lord's coming is very near. But I went home one night, and in the stillness of the night, after listening to the gospel, the thought struck me when I awakened during the night. Everything was dead silent. The Lord has come. I slept in the same room as my grandfather. He was saved. I wasn't. I listened for him breathing. Couldn't hear him. I called him. I said, Grandpa, there was no answer. I called again a little louder. There was no answer. I got up on my elbow and I shouted, Grandpa. With a gruff voice, he says, what do you want? I was glad to hear. Maybe tonight, a boy will go to his parents' bedroom. There'll be empty. There'll be no gruff voice. The Lord will have come. There may be a girl go tonight to see if her parents are still there. Their bed is empty. They're gone to be with Christ. A division. The first family on earth is divided in eternity. Adam and Eve are in heaven. There's a king. The very first boy born into the world, he's in hell. He'll never be out of it. How solemn, how searching. A night of division? Perhaps tonight. That could take place in the experience of us gathered here tonight. A night of death in Daniel chapter 5. I don't need to remind you of death around us. It's around us on every hand. Old people, middle-aged people, young people. Doesn't matter the age. All die. It is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. This could be a night of death. I remember sitting in a house one night in Ireland. We were there at a wake. A corpse was in the bedroom. A company had gathered in the living room. They were having a cup of tea. My dad and mom and I arrived. We were shown the corpse. It was my mother's cousin. We were told the last words that he was known to speak on earth. He died a young man, far as we know in his sin, a drunkard. We come back into the living room to have a cup of tea with the rest of the friends gathered. One man there was making jokes about death and so on, trying to make people laugh. My dad said amongst that crowd, "I wonder which one of us here is going to be like Bobby in the next room." There was a dead silence. Who's going to be the first to die in this company? Well, there was old men there. There were middle-aged men. There was young men. That was a Monday night. Tuesday, we followed his remains to the cemetery. And he was buried. Tuesday night, this man went to bed that was making the jokes. His wife came into the bedroom door. He said, "Lizzie," he says, "I've got a severe pain. Would you get me a drink of water quick?" She went to the tap. She got the water. She came back into the bedroom. He never got the water. He was in eternity. You mean joking on a Monday night? About death and death in the next room? And my dad said, "Who among this little company tonight? Who's going to be the first?" Uncle Joe Mulholland didn't think he was going to be first. It was a night of death the next night. We went to his wake on Wednesday night. Ah, friend, this could be a night of salvation. Christ has died. Salvation has been provided. Do you want it? If you're like this dealer, you can have it. How did he get it? Everything set aside. It says he called for a light. He sprang in. What about the prisoners, dealer? Doesn't matter about them. I need God's salvation. And I need it right now. Is there a soul in our meeting? And it's a must that you get saved tonight. Instead of playing around with things, get down to business. Salvation is the simplest thing under the canopy of God's heaven. It's not easy. I tried it for a long time. But whenever I came to the point, no use trying anymore. Forget it. Forget your trying. You can't save yourself. It was then I found out why Christ died. Why did he die? He died to save me. What about you? This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm a sinner. He came to save me. What did he do for me? He died for my sin. God says, "Bingham, do you believe it?" In my simplicity, I stepped out of myself and I was willing to take God at his word and rest on God's word for eternity. That's what salvation is. May you trust him tonight. What must you do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The assurance from God's word thou shalt be saved. May you do it tonight, for his name's sake.